You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
You know, the amazing thing I think I love about church is, you know, the Bible says that God sets the lonely in families and he's a father to the fatherless. And I remember, you know, I have a mom and she's amazing. Please pray for her, by the way. She fell recently and fell backwards and smashed her head. She was hospitalized for 2 weeks. So if you could keep her in prayers, that would be wonderful. But when I became a Christian in West London, even though I don't sound like it, I am American. And in the church in West London, there was this one of the women in the church who was older than me. She found out that I was American. And so she became like my American mom in the church and would just always look out for me, invite me over just to cook out. And then when I didn't have anywhere to live for a little while, she's like, come and live with me and my family. And I think about this scripture in Romans 16, and it says, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. And I think that's so beautiful because I look around the room and I know that so many amazing women in this room, whether you have a child or not, are mothers to other people in the church. And it's so special. And that's what God has created among us as he created this family, that we can be what maybe we don't have or what we need at a particular time. But happy Mother's Day, not only to all those who are mothers, but all those who are mothers in the faith to one another in our community as well. Amen. All right. Today, though, we're not having a Mother's Day message because we've got a text to study. So we're going to be carrying on in our series of acts, that acts of love, and we're looking at a love that. So in John 15, Jesus said, if you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Okay. In other words, he's saying a love that is deeply rooted in him, in Christ, cannot stagnate, doesn't drift, and it cannot shrink. In fact, it grows. That's the promise that's right there. You remain in Christ, you will grow in your faith and in your love and in your devotion. However, in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus addresses the church in Ephesus, he commends them for their works, their effort, their convictions, their right doctrine. But in the same breath, he chastises them because even though they are committed, perhaps out of duty or legalism or just doing the right thing, he chastises them because what they're doing is not out of love. And that's why when we read today in Acts chapter 11, Barnabas' words, they really matter deeply. And so I'd like to encourage you that this week, just pray about this scripture, this very, very simple scripture, which is remain true to the Lord with all your hearts. And just simply ask God, what areas of my life are there where I'm not quite remaining true to you? And so we're going to explore some of that today and how we get to do that. But that's the start. You see, the Christian life is not just how you begin, but it's how well will you remain in Christ. It's not just about taking the right stand on things or a commitment to church events, even though they're important, but it's how well you love in doing those things. It really is the essence of the Shema, which is our entire theme for this year. That all that we do are expressions of love and reflections of us remaining in Jesus. So let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to be a community truly striving to know you, to love you, and to remain in you. Help us today, God, to examine our own hearts, to see where might there be areas where we're not fully truly remaining in you, God. Expose them over the next week so that we can learn how to help one another to truly live out this scripture. Thank you for all the wonderful women in this room who are mothers in the faith, mothers biologically, to many of us. So grateful for them, God. Strengthen them, encourage them, and help us to show them our love for them as well. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. So let's go to our text. This is chapter 11, and we're going to read 19 to 22 to begin. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in Acts 8 that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, which is modern-day Lebanon, Cyprus, and Antioch, which is in Syria, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also. This isn't Hellenistic Jews. This is Gentiles, in other words, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. So the church in Jerusalem finds out that Gentiles are becoming Christians. So they send Barnabas on a special mission to check out what's going on. Have they been converted properly? Are they still holding on to maybe some of their old Gentile ways? How is the church doing in integrating Jews and Gentiles for the very first time? Because, by the way, Antioch was the first Jew and Gentile church, the very first one. So Barnabas comes. Next verse. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He, Barnabas, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So Barnabas arrives, he sees the work of God, the hand of God at work, he rejoices, and then he gets on with being a part of the work himself, helping more and more people become disciples. The church is growing, so much so that he then has to go and find Saul, who's up in Tarsus, to bring him back to be able to help. However, before he sets out to go and get Saul, he teaches the church this very, very important principle. And it's a teaching that echoes the teachings of Jesus and echoes the teachings within the Shema. Like we said, to remain true to the Lord with all your heart. He says, listen, I'm going, I'll be back, but remain true to the Lord with all your heart. So, 2 points today. First point is a love that encourages. Okay? A love that encourages. So, why did they send Barnabas? Well, the Bible tells us that he was a good man, that he was full of the Holy Spirit, and full of faith. He was such a good man, a good person, and he was so good at encouraging people that that became his name. Does anyone know what Barnabas's real name is? Joseph. Okay, his name is Joseph. But he was so good at encouraging people, they changed his name to Son of Encouragement. How about that? Any of you got a nickname because you're so good at something? Maybe I have a nickname for Zahid, but I won't go there right now. So, let's carry on. When Barnabas, the Bible says, arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all. You know, at first glance, you read this, and our modern interpretation of encouraging is what? Saying nice things, right? Hey, you can imagine him. We might think that he's there in the church like, oh, I love those sandals. You make the best stew. No, that's not what that, we've interpreted encouragement to be that way, right? But there is way more to it. Actually, his name, Barnabas, in Aramaic, it doesn't mean son of encouragement. It means son of prophecy. Son of prophecy. So, think about Old Testament prophets. What were they going around doing? Exhorting people, calling people back to God. So when he says, I'm going, remain true to the Lord with all your hearts, he's not just saying, hey, you know, keep faithful, keep going. He's like, you stay faithful to the Lord. Because that's his gift, is he's a modern day prophet within the early church. Now, the Bible does say in Acts chapter 4 that they also called him son of encouragement, but they added a different word there. There they use the word that we know as paraclete. So on one side, he's got this prophetic voice, but he's also got this other voice, which is one of comfort, of consolation, one of exhortation. And so both of those together is what we see in the character of Barnabas. You see, true encouragement is not just saying nice things to one another, although that's quite nice. It is participating in the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what true encouragement is. We get to partner with the Holy Spirit and encourage one another to remain true in loving God with all of our hearts. When we encourage someone, we are being called to do what the Spirit is already doing in their life and what He does to us, strengthening discouraged hearts, comforting weary souls, exhorting one another to remain faithful and to endure in love. We see things and we notice things, and it's sometimes just easy to ignore them. But we need to say and speak into one another's lives in a loving, encouraging way. We sharpen one another. None of us were able to make it this far without other people being involved within our lives. Every single one of us needed somebody to say the right thing at the right time. Now, we might think, yep, but I'm not Barnabas. He was gifted in that, and I think he was. But doesn't the Bible call all of us to encourage one another daily? Every one of us is called to do this, particularly to protect one another from the deceitfulness of sin. We all have blind spots. We all have things we don't see. We need to be engaged in one another's lives in this way, in varying capacities. You know, I think one of the greatest ways we can do this is by helping one another grow to become more like Jesus. We need to be doing that. You know, my last sermon, I was preaching about... I'm going to come to that. No, I'll do it now. In my last sermon, I was preaching about the three stages of growth. Remember that? Purgative, illuminative, and unitive. And one of the brothers afterwards said, "What stage are you in?" And I said, "I'd like to think mostly illuminative, but there are definitely times that I'm still in the purgative stage and needing to get things out." Sure enough, God showed me something this very week. So we had a core leadership team meeting on Thursday. And in the meeting, I was feeling something. There was something on my heart. And then I said something that really was not very loving. And Carrie, in the middle of the call, she said, "CJ, that wasn't very loving. It didn't protect." And so I immediately just felt like, oh, she's right. And so a few minutes later, I apologized on the call to everybody. But that's what encouragement does. That's encouraging to do that. We need to point things out with one another and not be afraid to do that. You know, I could have gone away feeling quite justified, and I hope that the Holy Spirit would have convicted me later on. But Carrie was able to be that place of the Holy Spirit on the call and encouraging me to repent and to, you know, to do the right thing. We all need that. Every one of us has an opportunity to sharpen each other and to speak truth into one another's lives. Now, it doesn't have to be as radical, you know, as dealing with sin, but encouragement comes in all different shapes and forms. When I was a young Christian, when I was a young minister, I went into ministry, and I was asked, "Hey, could you move into this brother's household? There's a young Christian who's there, and he's just not really finding it hard to fit in with church. He's been thinking about leaving. I said, "Absolutely." You know, so I moved in and we became friends quite quickly. And all we did, we would pray together. We'd sometimes go evangelizing together. We'd watch Arsenal together. They won today, by the way. Yes. And I would go to his family's house and meet his mom and dad. Just really basic stuff. But over time, just that simple encouragement of just being with him, coming alongside him, that was 27 years ago. He's still faithful today. His daughter recently got baptized. His mom and dad got baptized. It's encouraging. You never know what that little difference will make. If you just decide, you know what, I'm just going to come alongside you. I'm just going to be a friend. I'm just going to love you. We all need that. Let me encourage you, if you study the Bible with somebody, be with them for the long haul. Please, 1-2 years, you be with them, love them, encourage them. Don't just move on to the next person, okay? Please, please, please do that. It makes a huge difference. So, who is your Barnabas? Who is your Barnabas? If you don't have one and you need one, ask God. But seek one out. Remember when we did Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You and we spoke about the different people that we need in our lives. We need peer stream, people who are just buddies and good friends to us. But we also need people that we can reach down to, downstream, and love and encourage. But we also, all of us, need Barnabases that we can, that people are reaching out to us to encourage us, to strengthen us. Newbie is one of those for me. I'll just be feeling something and all of a sudden I'll get a random text that's exactly what I need to hear in that moment. I don't know how he does it, but it encourages me in that moment. Newbie, I can still receive texts in South Africa, okay? But who could you be a Barnabas for? Again, I think it does something when we invest in other people's lives. I think if we're just takers and expecting people just to encourage you, we miss out. We miss out on being like the Holy Spirit by being that person for one another. Okay, second point, main point, a love that remains. So like I said, Barnabas doesn't just give warm side hugs and wide smiles, but there is a specificity to his encouragement. So he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. We know that word remain. We see it in John chapter 15, where Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. That word remain, it means to cling. It means to stay no matter what. It means to continue regardless. It means to abide in Christ. That is not passive language, something that happens just by being in a room listening to a sermon. That is something that takes in daily intentionality. When Jesus calls us to pray and says, pray for your daily bread, how often is he expecting us to be prayerful? Every day. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity to spend time with God, to cling to Jesus, to learn from Jesus for whatever that day will bring. Abiding means living connected to Jesus in every area of our lives. Constantly learning how to deepen our attachment and connection to him. We can't survive without that. If anything, we kind of just do church without that. And then church becomes just kind of like an organization, and then we function in that way. And then it becomes perhaps too man-focused at times. There is a depth of spirituality that only Jesus can give us. Otherwise, we operate on very surface level, as I've said before, checking boxes. But there is a depth that he is calling us to. Because he says, you can't do anything if you're not deeply rooted in Christ. Was that me? Paul, he also echoes this. Look at this in Colossians. He says, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to walk in him. Daily dependence absolutely leads to progressive growth. How many of you like getting the latest smartphone, the latest iPhone? One person. I doubt that cannot, okay. It's okay, there's no shame along with this. It's okay, that's not my point. But if you have the latest phone, as shiny as it is, as expensive as it might be, updated, powerful, can do all these amazing things, what does it ultimately depend on to work? Power, power, and connection to power, right? If it's disconnected from power for too long, what happens to it? It dies. See, the Christian life is not just about showing up. That's part of it. We can do that, but we could really be running on 5%. Appearance is not necessarily connection, but being plugged in and charged by Jesus daily. That's the connection, and there really is no other way. That's what we do on a daily basis. I've got some competition. That's what we do on a daily basis in our connection time, plugging into Jesus for the day ahead. We cannot think that coming to church on a Sunday is going to, our charge is going to last for the next 7 days. Mine barely lasts till I get out the room. That's not how that works. Every single day, devoted time with God. Some days will look better than others, but that's how we remain true to the Lord with all of our hearts. So what Barnabas is saying is the Christian life is wonderful, but it's not easy. Anyone vouch for that? Yes. Oh, more hands than I thought. The truth is, friends may come and go. Jesus doesn't. Leaders might even move on to new places in a different continent. He says, remain true to the Lord with all your heart. You're not here for a leader. You're here for Jesus. That's what he's saying. So because he was going to Antioch, we don't know how long he was up there for. He's like, listen, remain true to the Lord. Don't give up. We'll be back, but you remain faithful, as difficult as that might have been. And this phrase is so key because it brings us back to the Shema, to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, no matter what. And that doesn't always look like perfection, by the way, but it looks like daily surrender. It's having a growth mindset. Let me ask you as I close, what are you working on this year? To be at church every midweek and every Sunday? That's okay. But what about deeply, within your inner self? What is God calling you and to be truly, deeply transformed in? You know this word here, hearts? It means our thoughts. It means our emotions. It means our desires. It means that everything about what we deeply desire, we run and we put through the filter of Jesus. That's what this means. We don't compartmentalize, but we bring everything through Christ. So as we finish, let me encourage you. Ask God, Lord, where am I needing, or where are you wanting me to grow in loving you and remaining true to you with all of my heart? And just see what he shows you over this next week. That prayer will open up amazing doors, I'm sure. But be a Barnabas to others as well, even in the fellowship. Spend time with people. Someone's going through a tough time. Pray for them just every day this week. Set a 3 o'clock prayer or something and just pray for them this week. And as we do, together, collectively, we can help one another have a love that remains. Amen. Thanks.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.